Don't like that top note. And you too early in the morning for ID.
Hey, Rose!
Hey, John! How are you?
I'm great. Rose Guccione, how are you doing, my dear?
Oh, Mr. Landecker,
it is so good to talk to you. It is so good to talk to you again after all these years.
It's so wonderful to talk to you, too. I don't know why I'm talking like that.
I don't know why. I'm talking like that either. Who's the
it's
dog?
It's Opera.
It's
Opera.
Who's the doggy? Who's the dog?
The doggy. Oh, my sweet little quesadora, my Bichon Frise, back in the day. She's since left us, but another one.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad to hear that.
I've gone
through that thing and more than once and will probably again. You know,
just it's so heartbreaking, but you don't trade it for anything.
Nothing. Rose is the CEO of something called operagram.com. And we've been acquainted for, quite a while. Operagram was like it is a singing telegram, only it's opera, right?
Exactly.
I mean, yeah.
It's singing telegrams with an operatic twist.
Well, it's more than a twist because you're pretty twisted.
And I am.
But you're like a professional opera singer.
Yes. I sang with Lyric Opera for 20 years in its chorus.
Right.
And I still perform. Had two shows canceled last summer, obviously because of COVID.
Right.
It's a rough time for singers. It's a rough time for singers. I have it easier than most, however. So I'm very blessed that way.
Well, back in the day, Rose would put on a helmet with horns sticking out of it. What is that? And braids hanging down. What is that? The stereotypical picture of what kind of opera image is that?
That's Elmer Fudd.
No, it's
frankly,
not.
And Kill the Rabbit. No, it's kind of a Wagnerian outfit.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
And you would walk in somewhere, and someone would book you to come in, and you'd let her rip.
That's right.
Now, I'm going to play.
Go ahead.
I'm going to play an example of that. Okay?
I'm ready.
Here we go. Okay, now it starts out in your car, and you're talking about, not everybody gets to be Pavarotti, so.
This is, the life of an opera singer. Very rarely does an opera singer, make it big like a Domingo or a Pavarotti or Mira La Frani or.
Oh, are you Sarah? Oh, happy birthday, Sarah, from Gregory.
So great. It is so great.
And of course there's Sweet Mystery of Life.
You want to rip me with that one? Come on.
Oh, of course. Here
we go.
Oh, Sweet Mystery of Life, at last I found you. That was added effect.
Now, obviously COVID has cut down on, the operagram business, at least in person. Are you doing it virtually or Zooming or things like that?
Yes. I actually do a Zoom bomb type thing.
Yes.
I've appeared in some conferences where, it's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon when people usually want to, sleep or leave. or finish the conference, and they need that cup of coffee. And right. I will show up with the meeting agenda as my Zoom or whatever background and pop up into the video in, you know, Brunhilde-like costume and sing their agenda to them. That's one of the things that I do. Yeah, it's pretty effective. It at least gives people a chance to breathe.
You bet.
And it's so fun for me, too.
So you're for hire.
Oh, yeah. It's legal, though. It's legal.
Oh, well, of course. And how is that done?
By going to my website, operagram.com, which is spelled O-P as in Peter, E-R-A, G-R-A-M as in Mary, .com.
Mm-hmm. And and follow along.
Yeah, and just, yeah. You know, it's on the front page. You'll see there are four different options. I do operagram by phone, so I will. Mm-hmm. I've actually, called Saudi Arabia to deliver an operagram.
No.
I mean, this is really fun. And video, pre-recorded video conferencing, yeah. And I actually will do in person, and we'll sing outside of your house. I do, even in this weather. I will be 12 to 20 feet away because, you know, the bigger the girl, the bigger the opera singer, the more the aerosols fly through the air. So, you know, if someone wants to hire me to stand outside of your house and sing, you will definitely hear it.
Oh, you got to do it. That is so great, Rose. That is so awesome. That is so you.
I am masked, however. Yes, I do believe in safe singing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Keep a mask on it.
Well,
keep it covered.
Did anybody, when they were, did you, when my producer talked to you, did he tell you what else I had in mind with this?
Oh, yeah, the article from the New York Times.
Yeah. We'll get to that when we come back. Well, hold on a second, because that is, your comment on the mask sort of leads me there. And we'll do more with Rose when we come back on 720 WGN.
Oh, mighty warrior of great fighting stock. Might I inquire to ask him, what's up, Doc?
I'm going to kill the rabbit.
Almighty hunter, 'twill be quite a task. How will you do it, might I inquire to ask?
I will do it with my spear and my...
You know, opera is everywhere, Rhodes. It's just absolutely everywhere. 720 WGN, John Landecker with Rose Guccione, who is the curator, the CEO of operagram.com, and also a professional opera singer who has sung with the Lyric for 20 years. Now, the thing that that brought you back to my mind was this article that I saw, Opera Singers Help COVID-19 Patients Learn to Breathe Again.
And, amazing.
And I wanted to talk to you about that.
Mm-hmm.
Can you shed some light on how that would be done?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I would imagine that what they do, they probably have a consult over Zoom or some other video conferencing thing. Mm-hmm. But a lot of what we do is based in our ability to breathe deeply.
Yeah.
So there are some breathing exercises. It did catch me, though, that in the second paragraph of that article, the instructor asks for even more tongue, which is kind of interesting. Which I'm not sure that's how I would phrase it over a Zoom call with a stranger. Maybe you, John. I would just say,
hey, Rose,
John,
can you give me some more tongue on that? Yeah, give me some.
I need more tongue. And it needs to be stuck out in disgust. But no.
No, but really it does, though. It really. Yeah. Nope.
Yeah. In seriousness, there are tongue exercises that are used in voice lessons.
Yes.
Particularly with people who tense their tongue a lot.
Right.
So it's one that I teach my students if I see any sort of tension that I think could be alleviated by it. So I have them take the tip of their tongue.
I'll do it. You tell me what to do.
The bottom. Yes.
Tell me about that. Okay. I will. I'm your student.
This is kind of wild. Okay.
Okay.
So what you would do is take the tip of your tongue, put it behind your bottom teeth. You would stick it out so it would kind of be rolled. It would look rolled if you saw yourself in the mirror. And I would say, in that position, you want to do la, 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 la. So like, la, 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 la. You know, just kind of stick it out. Yeah, exactly. Boy, I wish I could see this.
No, you don't.
But what this does, is that you're sticking your tongue out to, it's kind of like a hyperextension to release to kind of a neutral position with the tongue so that you're not grabbing, you're not involving, you have about 8 muscles. There are other subsections of the tongue that are, it's a really complex organ.
Yes.
And so, but it's one that we need in articulation, which is the production of words. Other instruments don't have that, but we do. So the tongue is part of it. But I would say for people who are, to me, it just seems like a natural and brilliant kind of combination. You know, I would imagine at this point, respiratory and speech therapists may be overburdened with people who are recovering from COVID.
Who are breathing problems.
Breathing problems. So, you know, to engage singers who need to learn how to breathe deeply seems like a really natural thing. And it's a brilliant idea, not just for helping COVID patients, but for the ENO, the English National Opera. It's really lending out goodwill. It employs coaches, singers.
Right.
That makes the collaboration between medicine and music, which is just a beautiful thing and kind of an old idea when you think about old philosophers. So it's just great. But I think an interesting thing here to talk about would be the whole idea of our lungs and just kind of getting an idea of what that is. So were I to ask you, now, don't get creeped out by this. I'm not a surgeon. I have no desire to cut anybody. But if I had to remove a lung, where would I make the incision?
You're asking me?
Yeah.
Well, I suppose right in the middle of my chest. No?
In the front or in the back?
Oh, wow. I've never thought of that.
I know. Most of us haven't.
I mean, my something tells me it's the back because my initial reaction would be, well, the front, of course.
Right. And most of us, myself included, back in the day, thought that, okay, that's where my lungs are. Well, kind of. But the lungs are easily accessed through the back.
Gotcha.
So if we're, so why I'm asking that question is that our lungs, these air sacs, they expand when we breathe in. So we often think about things that have been like thrown at us, like you should breathe from your diaphragm or support that voice. And no one ever explains that. And that's because in some ways it's not really a good instruction.
Okay.
So with breathing, I would argue, is much lower, at least how we need to think of it as singers, as people recovering from COVID, people who may have difficulty with anxiety or even asthma, which is also, you know, kind of, it's also produced by anxiety in some cases, allergies in others. So we need to think much lower.
Lower in the back?
Lower than the back. So the back is involved. You'll have expansion there. You'll have expansion through your lats, the lateral, you know, the side. So if you like put your hands on your waist, you would feel ideally expansion through there. And you would, of course, feel expansion in your abdominal area. However, if anybody has practiced yoga, There is a breath that yogis do, typically at the end of practice, where they're sitting on their heels, and they put their fist underneath their belly button, lean forward to feel those lower abdominal muscles, and then come back up with the fist engaged and do, and this is going to sound weird over the microphone,
no,
I think, but to shush. So you would go, shh, 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 shh. So what if I were giving you a lesson right now, I would have you find the edge of your seat without falling off, just to support your backside.
Okay.
And I would have you shift from right to left to feel what's called your ischial tuberosities, which we know is our zits bones.
Okay.
So if you, and even a girl with an ample backside like myself can feel my bones against chair when
gotcha.
I do this.
Yeah.
So I will have people do the shushing just to know what muscles are engaged. It's not to that degree, but I actually have them think of breathing through their butt as they're sitting. Like
breathing through their butt.
Yeah, just think that you can actually, not that you literally can, but think that you can inhale through your backside. So were you to, like, pretend you were smelling a beautiful fragrance from a flower through your nose,
yeah,
you could actually direct the breath, or at least the muscles that kind of control the breath, really low. And in essence, you kind of feel like a human pufferfish.
Wow.
Because that's how deep that breathing is. But the first thing that people need to know, especially if they're nervous or anxious, we tend to hold on to our air, kind of like a doe on a headlights, right?
Right.
Or like you hear somebody step on a twig and you're like, oh, who's there? You're stopping your tracks, you're holding your breath so you can hear better. Well, if you're holding your breath, carbon dioxide builds up in the bloodstream. What oxygen is there goes to support your vital organs to keep you alive during this state. And to take air in on that is not productive. So the first thing you have to do is exhale. I can't stress
right.
that enough. Exhaling right. is first. So if you were to get in touch with your backside
right.
and do either a long sustained shush or a hiss, like without clenching the jaw,
that's going out.
And maybe even repeat. Yeah, exactly. Repeat kind of a mantra through your head, release or calm or let go, just kind of to get into a state of mind that's more centered.
Right.
That would help you with deep breathing. So you exhale first.
Yep.
And another way to feel the full capacity breath is to exhale to the point of not being able to exhale anymore.
Right.
And allowing your body to take the air in.
Now, I'm about ready to run out of time here. So once that I've done the shushing in the exhale, then I try to reconnect with my lower back area and inhale?
And your lower abdominal. Abdominal. Yeah. Sniff through your nose, or pretend that you have a straw to your mouth and breathe in. And just be aware of what expansion happens.
Okay. Rose, thanks for being with me. Yeah, it sure does. Hey, we'll do this again. Rose, thank you. All right, stay healthy. Keep breathing.